You're listening to the Travel Geniuses podcast for travel agents who love planning vacations for their clients, but wish the business side of things was just a little bit easier. This is episode 51, and we're talking about money. Uh-oh. Hey, Travel Geniuses, Christy here. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the podcast. This is an actual episode. If you missed it, the last recording that I released just a couple of days prior to this one going out wasn't a real podcast episode. It was me talking about the anti-marketing marketing workshop that I'm starting on February 1st. And what it is a six-month program that will help you learn to market yourself in a way that feels really honest and easy and non-salesy. And you're not just going to learn how to do that, but we're going to spend a lot of time doing the work too. I find for me that 90% of the hassle isn't, or the struggle isn't knowing what to do. It's actually doing it. Knowing what to do is the easy part. So we're going to spend a lot of time actually doing the work. And the reason I call it the anti-marketing marketing workshop is because it's actually the opposite of what we traditionally think of as marketing, or at least me. When I hear marketing, I think, you know, social media, posting things to try and get people to comment and like your post so you can beat the algorithm and all kinds of tricks and games. And I'm not against that. For some people, that's exactly the right thing to do. It's just not the right thing for me. And if that's something that you have been feeling like you're supposed to do and you should be doing, but you don't because it doesn't sound fun and it doesn't feel authentic to you, then this anti-marketing marketing program might be the answer for you. And I promise it can be really easy and feel very natural and comfortable. It doesn't have to involve, and it shouldn't involve, you trying to pretend to be something you're not or saying things that you wouldn't normally say in real life. It's just you being you and essentially answering people's questions. I've read that 70% of the buying decision is made before a person even calls you and talks to you in person. And this is where that decision is being made. So if you're not creating content or giving them any way to get to know you, like you, and trust you, you've heard that before, know, like, and trust. If you're not giving them any way to get to know you in that way, then they're probably not even going to pick up the phone and call. But if you do this right and you follow what I'm going to teach in this workshop, then they will get to know, like, and trust you before they even pick up the phone or schedule a consultation call. And then all you have to do is collect the money, basically, because they've already decided at that point that they really do want to work with you. So if that sounds interesting to you and you want to learn more about it, go to travelgeniuses.com/anti-marketing and all your questions should be answered there. If you still have questions, shoot me an email at christy@travelgeniuses.com. I'm totally happy to answer any questions you still have. All right, now let's get into this episode. And this is a topic I have been wanting to talk about for probably a year. But then COVID happened and it just didn't seem right. Actually, it's been over a year since I've been wanting to discuss this. And I'm still not sure if you're ready. Some of you may not feel ready to hear this right now, but I still wanted to talk about it because I know that the phones are starting to ring. Holidays are over. Vaccines are starting to be administered and people are starting to travel. And I want you to be prepared to handle the money that's coming in a different way than you have in the past. And this is something I don't hear talked about in the travel agency world much at all, if ever. I can't think of a single time in all of the conferences I've gone to, all of the trade magazines I've read. I think one person, Bob Jocelyn, maybe. Well, I know for sure he talks about this in his group, but he is probably the only person in this world that I am aware of who talks to travel agents about managing your money. And there are a couple of unique things about our industry that make it especially important for you to do this right. And one is just the way you make your money. If you're commission-based, you might have a month where you make $5,000 in commission that comes in, not booked, but commission that comes in. And the next month, you might bring in $1,000 in commissions. That's very cyclical and it's very up and down. It's not consistent at all. If you've managed to build a business where you're getting the same amount in commission every month for 12 months, then I want to talk to you because I don't know what the secret to that is. You are constantly going to have high seasons and low seasons, times when you're booking a lot but not bringing in much money maybe, and other times when you're not booking as much but everybody's traveling, so you're bringing in a lot of commissions. And for those of you who are just starting in this industry or maybe thinking about it, most of the time, and this may change, I have read some things hinting at the fact that this might change and maybe the way the supplier travel agent relationship might change and things might be renegotiated a little bit where you might get your commission at a different time in the booking process. But historically, you don't get paid until sometimes 60 days after the client's return home. So just because you booked them in January of 2021, you might not get paid until May of 2022, depending on the trip and how far out they're booking. So you're doing a lot of work up front, but that money will come in much later, typically. And the other thing is, and the other reason why this is so important, is that it's not if travel will be affected, if there's some sort of world crisis or financial downturn in the country, it's when. Travel is always affected. I can't think of a single time when something has happened in the world or in the US when travel hasn't been affected. It's a leisure activity for the most part, and it's almost always the first thing to go when people start to tighten their belts. So when the economy falls apart or there's a terrorist attack somewhere or a pandemic, travel is always going to be affected. Now, for those of you who are living through your first crisis in the travel industry, it's not usually this bad. Usually it's something where people are afraid to travel or not everybody can afford to. So it slows down a bit, sometimes a lot. I don't know of another time when it literally has stopped like this. So this is an extreme circumstance, but it's always going to happen. You always have to be prepared for the slowdown in your bookings and in your commissions because, like I said, anytime something happens, travel is guaranteed to be affected. But that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You can be prepared for it, and it can actually be a bit of a blessing. I think I've told this story before, and I wish I could remember who it was. Back probably in the 2008-2009 time period when the financial crisis happened, I read about an agency owner actually, who was saying that he was sending all his agents on fam trips. Like, they were using that time to get re-educated on destinations because travel was really cheap at that time because not as many people were going. So they were trying to attract people with lower prices. So he was sending his agents on trips to revisit hotels and get to know destinations all over again. And I know a lot of you during this time have revamped your websites and looked at your business processes and kind of tightened things up a little bit that way. So there is some good that happens when things slow down, again, if you're ready for it. And I want you to be ready for it. So that's the whole point of this episode. I want you to start now to put things in place so that in 8 to 10 years, if and when something like this happens again, you'll be ready. You'll have those cash reserves on hand. You'll be the ones going on those fabulous trips because you've been prepared for it and you won't be panicked and scrambling to try and pay your bills during that time. And this is the part in the episode where I should say that I am not a financial expert. Please don't take this as financial advice. Definitely talk to your accountant before you put any of this into place. I'm just giving some suggestions, but I am by no means a professional. My husband is the one in the relationship who saves all the money, and I joke that then I just spend everything that's left. Like, he has stuff going into the 401k and other savings accounts before it even reaches our checking account. And then I know he's taking care of all the savings and I can do whatever I want with what's left. So I'm not the most financially savvy person in the world, but I am incredibly lazy. So I have found some resources and some advice that is very easy to follow and simplifies things a lot, because finances can be really, really complicated and overwhelming. And I think that's why a lot of us tend to just not think about it. We just like try to balance our checking account. I was going to say checkbook, but who uses those anymore? We just try to balance everything out and get our bills paid by the end of the month. And if that happens, then we feel pretty good about things. And just try not to think about it beyond that, because yes, it's incredibly complex and complicated and overwhelming. But I'm hoping what I share with you today will make it feel almost fun and exciting to dig into and set up. So I'm going to be sharing a couple of resources with you in this episode, and I'm not going to go into great detail with each of them, but I'm just going to give you a brief overview so you could maybe get set up this week if you wanted to, but definitely get the books that I'm recommending and maybe the software that I'm recommending if you want to learn more and if you really want to do this right. I definitely recommend the first book I'm going to tell you about, which is called The Pumpkin Plan. It's a book that we worked through in my insiders group. And I actually just talked to somebody last week who told me that for the first time since she's owned her agency, she was able to easily pay her taxes when they were due and not stress about it at all, because she had set up this system earlier in the year. And so she was completely prepared. And when her accountant gave her the tax bill, she was like, oh, no problem, I have that, and just paid it. And that's what I want for you. So I'm going to give you a really brief overview and quick summary of the book, but this is just a fraction, like I said. So if you really want to dig in and do this right, I do recommend getting the book Profit First by Mike Malkowicz. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I will have a link to that book in the show notes. So the basic idea behind Profit First is to take out the important stuff first and then spend with what's left. So just like I had mentioned earlier, my husband takes out all the savings and stuff before it even hits our joint account. And then I'm free to spend whatever's left. And you might have heard of something called Parkinson's Law, which says that like the task that you have will take up the entire amount of time that you give it. So if your task for the day is to write an email newsletter, if you allow yourself 3 hours of time to do that, I guarantee it's going to take that entire 3 hours. But if you only have an hour and you schedule an hour in between client appointments or something, I bet you will be able to get that done in 1 hour. Money works in much the same way. Your expenses will increase to take up all of the money that you allow for it. So with the profit first method, you're taking the money out for important things first and then leaving the rest available for your business expenses. So here's how it works. Mike has you set up several bank accounts, and he does explain how to do this in the book, but essentially you'll have one primary account that all your income goes in. So your commission checks, any fees you collect from clients, things like that, everything that comes into your business goes into this one account. And then twice a month or monthly, depending on how often you receive money, you would go into that account and spread it out among your other accounts. And those are your owner's compensation or salary. So that's what you pay yourself for your living expenses. A taxes account, an operating expenses account. So these are your website fees, your CRM fees, anything you pay to run your business, buying supplies, things like that. And then your final one is your profit. And he does give some guidelines in the book for the percentages for each of these. And I will say you're not going to probably be able to reach these percentages right off, and you're going to want to tweak them to suit you and your business and how much, you know, what one person needs for operating expenses. If you've got a storefront and employees, is going to be different than an agent who's independent working at home without rent on an office to pay, without paying for employees, things like that. But the suggestions in the book are 50% for owner's compensation and salary, 15% for taxes, 30% for your operating expenses, and then 5% for profit. So twice a month or once a month, again, depends on how often you get income coming in, you will go into your account, your primary account, and distribute the money to those other accounts. So the way I have it set up is where my primary account is, I have linked my other bank accounts and I have named them with the percentages that I'm moving. So it would say in this case, owner's compensation, 50%. That's the name I have given to that account so they don't have to keep looking back to see the percentages that are supposed to be moved around. And then another suggestion from the book, or a strong suggestion, like he really, really encourages this, is for your taxes and your profit accounts. Those you're not touching, you're just accessing those quarterly. So put those in a bank that is hard to get to and don't even add them to your phone. Like for me, I have my bank accounts, I have the apps for them on my phone, but for my profit and my taxes accounts, I don't have those there. So I can't even see that they exist. The money goes there and then I never see it again. I don't know what the balances are in there and I don't ever know that until I need it. And there are also somewhere where I have to actually go to the bank to withdraw or move those funds. So I can't draw from them if something quote unquote really, really important and urgent comes up that I need that money for. Like a great fam trip opportunity that maybe you haven't saved up for yet and you think, oh, I'll just borrow it for my taxes and I'll pay it back with, you know, the next couple of months when I have some big commission months. All right, so let's talk about that profit account for a minute because you probably understand what your salary is for. That's for your living expenses. That's your paycheck. Taxes, of course, go to taxes. Operating expenses, like I said, that's just for the cost of running your business, any monthly payments you have to make, any yearly payments for supplies, for your website, your CRM, all of that stuff, any groups you're a member of, any classes you're taking, any business expenses come out of that account. But profit is something we don't really think or talk about a whole lot. And I'm not an expert on this, but from reading the book, like this just isn't something I had ever heard of before or thought much about. Profit is something that you will access quarterly. So every quarter you will go into that profit account. You get to take half of it. And that is just for you to celebrate how much you've grown the business, how much you've earned, to reward you for all the work you've been doing. So that's in addition to your salary. The profit is just like your bonus, your quarterly bonus. The other half that's left stays there and or gets distributed to other areas of your business or other accounts. So he says this is like your rainy day fund, or if you're saving up for a big project, a new website redesign or something like that, that's what the other 50% of the funds would be used for. Now, here's my non-accountant suggestion for this. The travel industry, like I said earlier, it's not if there will be a downturn in business, it's when. It's always going to happen. No matter what happens that causes some sort of financial crisis, we will always be affected. I mean, I'm not going to say always because we've learned last year, we never know what could possibly happen, but I can't think of a single thing that could happen that would like affect the economy, but wouldn't affect travel at all. It almost always affects travel. So you have to be prepared for it. So my suggestion would be to mess with these numbers a little bit and either add another account for your rainy day fund and sock away 5 to 10% in there and pull it from somewhere else. So maybe your operating expenses, you don't have an office that you're paying for, you don't have any employees yet. If you can pull some of the percentage from your operating expenses and move it to your rainy day fund, or decrease your owner's compensation, but somehow make sure you're increasing that amount that goes to the rainy day fund. So that can be a separate account, or you can just increase your profit. And then every quarter, maybe split, maybe 50% goes to rainy day out of your profit, 25% goes to you, and 25% stays in that profit account. Whatever you need to do, just make sure that you've got some sort of fund set up to make sure you're ready and able to handle the next time the travel industry has some issues and bookings drop. And I don't want you to just be prepared to cover your expenses and your salary during this time. I want you to be in a position, I mean, ideally, you'll be in a position to take advantage of that slowdown as well. There's always stuff that needs to be done with our business that we don't have the time for. It's like either you have all the time in the world but no money, or you have all kinds of bookings, so you're earning a lot of money, but you don't have time to do those things. So you want to make sure that you have the money when you have the time. And this could be extra money for fam trips. I know I've mentioned this before, that I read an article years ago during a downtime when an agency owner was saying, this is great for us. Like, this is the time when I send my agents out to travel. Travel prices are affordable right now. It's a great time for them to go experience destinations again, visit hotels that they haven't been to for years, maybe visit a new destination and become an expert on someplace else. But they had that money set aside so that when things slowed down and there weren't as many bookings, they had the money there to be able to go and do those things. It could also mean just revamping your business, maybe getting a new website designed, or hiring somebody to set up systems and processes for you, or hiring a VA and getting them onboarded. If you're prepared for this to happen and you've got a good chunk of money set aside, you'll have the money there to do all these things that you don't have the time for when things are busier. Okay, now I know some of you are listening to me and are thinking, Christy, I don't even have enough money every month to cover my expenses, let alone setting aside money for taxes and salary for me and a profit fund. I know, I completely get it and I understand. And especially after this last year that we've had, but even without that, sometimes it's hard to get yourself up to a point where you're covering expenses and having extra set aside for taxes and profit and even a salary for yourself can feel like something super unattainable. But that doesn't mean that you don't do this. What I want you to start doing, if you're in that place where even if your expenses are more than you're pulling in, start with just 1% in those other accounts. So start with 97% in your operating expenses account and 1% for profit, 1% for taxes, and 1% for your owner's compensation. I know that's probably not going to cover your taxes, but it might. But it'll at least get you used to doing that and in the habit of doing that. And then you'll just increase that. So revisit this every quarter or every 6 months and see if you're in a place that you can increase it by 1% or even 5 or 10%, depending on which area you're looking at, until you reach those goal numbers. And this will be something that you'll have to play with a little bit too. Maybe you're finding that 30% or sorry, 15% is way too much for your taxes. Then you adjust that down a little bit until you find that sweet spot. The same goes for your operating expenses. If you're running really lean and you don't have very many expenses, you can adjust that down. But just make sure you're in a place later when you are ready to hire some help that you're able to bump that up to cover that. When our kids were little, we were super poor and like didn't have money for anything extra, barely could cover our regular expenses. My husband got a job at like a real company and they had a 401k plan, which we really didn't feel like we could afford, but we started just with 1%. And then every time he got a raise, we would increase that by 1% until we were able to max out what we were allowed to put in. And by doing it just 1% at a time, we really didn't notice it. That's not something that's going to make or break you. Even if you're earning $10,000 a month, 1% of that is $100. And when you're bringing in $10,000 a month, $100 is nothing. If you're earning $1,000 a month, 1% of that is $10. And honestly, even if all you're making is $100 a month, 1% is a dollar. Again, No matter how little you're earning right now with your business, that 1% isn't going to make or break anything with your business. But, well, it will make the ability and the habit for you of setting that money aside and forgetting about it if it's in one of those accounts that you need to just let sit there until you need it. All right, so that's your profit first breakdown and summary. There's something else I wanted to talk about that's really important for those of us, or makes it more difficult, I think, to manage money for those of us in the travel industry. And that's the fact that our income rises and falls all the time. Like, you might have a month where you know, during high season, you're earning thousands and thousands of dollars a month. And then months later, it's low season. You might be working hard and making a lot of bookings and working with people to design vacations, but your income drops sometimes to close to nothing some months. And it's hard to balance that, especially if you're not being deliberate with it, meaning you're planning for those highs and lows and not spending it all when you have a high month. And then, oh my gosh, what happened? Acting surprised when you have a month that you don't have a lot of commissions coming in. It just makes it really hard to budget around that type of situation. But I found a tool I really like, and it's called YNAB. You need a budget, YNAB, YNAB. And it's an app. You won't all like it. I like it because it's not as serious as something like QuickBooks. It's a little more fun, has a little more personality, is a little easier for me to understand and wrap my brain around. And it does cost money. I think it's like $85 a year, but there's a free trial. So I do encourage you to at least download it, set some things up and play around with a little bit and see if you like it. But I love it. So it is something I pay for. And what's super cool is that they have, you can set up separate budgets is what they would call it. So you would set up your personal budget, which is your family budget or just your living budget. And then you could set up a separate budget for your business and keep those accounts and that budgeting separate, which is really, really nice. And what I like about this tool is it has you create a job for every dollar that comes into your account. So remember I talked about Parkinson's law and how that applies to money. If you have money just sitting there and you haven't given it a quote unquote job, or you haven't assigned it to go somewhere, you're just going to find a way to spend it, even if it's not on something that you need, which doesn't mean you're not allowed to spend money on things that aren't absolutely necessary. We'll get to that in a minute, but just it keeps you from spending it without thinking about what you're spending your money on. And what's really cool about how they do this is that if you have expenses that come up once a year or every 3 months or something like that, you can budget for those monthly so that you're not caught surprised and unprepared when one of those yearly or quarterly expenses come up. And they have really, really great tutorials on YouTube showing you how to set it up and how best to use it. And they're actually not boring. They're very, I find them quite entertaining to watch. Sometimes it takes me a few watches to wrap my brain around what they're trying to tell me to do. But they are really entertaining videos, especially considering they're about budgets. And I will link to a couple of useful ones in the show notes. One in particular is specifically about how to budget around a variable income, which is, like I was saying, that we have to deal with. Some months you're earning a lot and some months you might earn nothing. Okay, I have one other resource I want to talk to you about, and this has to do with your personal budgeting and personal finances. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not an accountant. I'm not giving financial advice. I'm just sharing some tools and resources that I have found helpful. This is a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And I know I've talked about him before, and I do not like the book title, but it's a really, really good book. And I've purchased, I don't even know, at least 10 copies probably. I've given it to all my kids. I've given it to siblings. I've given it to friends. I have a couple on my shelf right now because I kept giving my copy away. So now I have a couple on hand. So if I feel like I need to give it to somebody, I have it available. That's so much I like this book. And before I get into why, I know there are a lot of Dave Ramsey fans out there. That's another great resource. My husband personally really likes him. That's just not my style. My husband is very cheap and he wants the lowest price on everything. while I want to be responsible with my money, I do like to enjoy it. So he, when we travel, if it was up to him, we would just look at the cheapest hotel in the town and that's where we would stay no matter how disgusting it was. I am not about that life, so I am in charge of hotel reservations and I don't necessarily always tell him how much we're paying. But that's the point, is that I feel like, and maybe I've just done it wrong, but I feel like Dave Ramsey is more like budgeting and deprivation until you get to a certain point and then you can enjoy things. Whereas I feel like Ramit's style is more like enjoy it while you're getting there. Like, here are some tips to make it easier and more automated. And then what's left, you can have fun with and enjoy, which goes right along with that profit first philosophy of like taking care of the important things, your profit, your rainy day fund, your taxes, and then enjoy the rest of what's left. So I'm not going to go into every single thing that Ramit talks about in the book, but I do want to talk about three things. And the first is automating your savings and those important things. So we only have a finite amount of willpower and brain strength. I don't know the word to say, but like sometimes you're really motivated to save and like pay off your credit cards or whatever it is you're saving for. And you're really motivated and you're like, I'm going to save $100 a month towards this. And then like every time you have to set that money aside and save it, it takes like, you have to convince yourself all over again. Like, okay, never mind. I'm not going to buy that new whatever it is you want. I'm going to say no to the dinner because remember I said I wanted to save for this big goal. Automating it helps you make that decision when you're feeling really motivated and strong about it. And then you don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to worry about being weak one day and caving and, you know, spending money on something you didn't intend to spend and then feeling guilty later because you had this big goal and now you feel like you just ruined it all. So a lot of what he teaches is to set this up in advance, set things up with your bank so that either the minute it comes in or before it comes in, you're putting that money in that savings account or paying it towards your credit cards or whatever the goal is there before it ever gets to your spending account. So just like how my husband takes all the money before it comes to me, I don't have to worry and make those choices about should I spend this money or should we be saving for something, because he's done all of that. It's already been decided. There's no more decisions to be made. So then I just get to relax and enjoy what's left. So automating is something that's super simple to do. You only have to do it once, but there's big, big impact on your finances if you do that. Another thing that Ramit talks about that I really like are money rules. And it's kind of along the same lines where it just takes so much energy sometimes to make decisions. So he has certain rules and decisions that he has made in advance. And these will be different for everybody. It just depends on what's important to you. But a couple of his, just to give you an example, if he's flying somewhere, any flight over 4 hours, he books business class. Then he doesn't have to hem and haw and stress and waste a bunch of mental energy trying to decide, should I get business or economy for this flight? Anything over 4 hours is automatically business. He doesn't think about it. Another one of his rules is that if he's interested in a book, he buys it. He doesn't like sit there and spend a bunch of mental energy on whether or not to buy the book. Is it worth it? Am I going to like it? If there's a book that interests him, he buys it. That's just something that's very important to him. So that's one of his rules. He also has rules about how much he puts into a savings account, how much he invests, how much of an emergency fund he has. And I just like this because it takes a lot of the stress around money and spending away, because you're making these decisions in advance. So when the opportunities come up, you don't have to think about it. And then the final thing I'm going to talk about that Ramit teaches is something called money dials. So instead of feeling like you have to deprive yourself in every area of your life in order to reach your financial goals, Ramit teaches to have money dials. So the things that are important to you, you turn that dial all the way up. And the things that aren't important to you, you turn it down and like spend as little as possible on those things. So they just kind of balance each other out, and this way you're able to enjoy the things you want to enjoy while still keeping within your budget. And again, he goes into this more in the book, but just some examples of money dials would be convenience, travel, health and fitness, experiences, entertainment, luxury. And so I'm guessing most of us, that travel money dial is going to be way up there because obviously we love travel. But for me, at least, like that entertainment category, that's not something I spend much money on. Like, I'm happy with just watching Netflix every once in a while and a good book. I'm not spending a lot of money on concerts or sporting events, things like that. These are all really personal and are going to be different for different people. And you may look at somebody else and think, why in the world would they waste so much money on whatever it is they're spending on? Well, for them, that's just one of their, it's important to them. So that's one of the money dials they've turned up, whereas they might think you're crazy for something you're spending money on. So we're all different and that's okay. But I love this idea that you can still be responsible with your money, but really enjoy and spend money on the things that are important to you. So there you have it. Those are all my tips on how to manage your finances. And again, I'm not a financial expert. This is not financial advice, but I definitely do recommend those resources. Profit First, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and then check out YNAB. That's a really great app and I love it. And of course, I will have the links to all of these in the show notes. And I know there was something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was now. I was just going to mention another point. I thought of it today, and it completely left my mind. But make sure you're signed up for my newsletter, because I have started doing, I've done one so far, but there's always something I think of after I publish the episode. I'm like, oh, I should have mentioned this, or I forgot to mention that. I'm going to start sending out, anytime that happens, an email with whatever it is I forgot to talk about. So that will make me feel a little less stressed to get these done perfectly and make sure I don't forget anything. So if you're interested in that, go to travelgeniuses.com/newsletter. Also, don't forget the anti-marketing marketing workshop is going to be starting soon. You have until the end of January to sign up if you're interested. And remember, the more people that sign up, the lower that price will be. We're really close to that 420 mark right now. So I'm pretty confident that that will at least hit that goal. Really hoping we can get it down to 370, but it's going to be so worth it no matter what point you sign up at and what the price ends up being. I promise I'm working so hard to make sure that it's worth easily four times paying, even if you end up paying the higher price. There's going to be so much good stuff in there, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way to help make sure it's a success as well. So for more information on that, go to travelgeniuses.com/anti-marketing, and you can learn more there, or shoot me an email if you still have questions. I'm always happy to answer any questions you have. Okay, that's it. Have a great week. See you next time.